Okay, very good. For those of you who know Stuart Prager and have seen him give talks, and for those of you who also know me and have seen me give talks, you'll notice that the style of the view graphs is very much Stuart's today. So I'm going to actually present the talk as he gave it to me, and you should think that Stuart's standing in front of you rather than I. Okay, so today we'll be talking about flux conversion dynamos in a lab plasma, and the plasma we're going to be talking about is a plasma experiment at the University of Wisconsin called a reverse field pinch. In this reverse field pinch experiment, a magnetic field geometry is set up and currents are driven in such a way that magnetic instabilities are able to convert magnetic flux from one direction into another direction, much in the way that the alpha effect is used in dynamo theory to close the dynamo loop. And so there's a very close connection, but you'll see that where the differences are. And so although this is not exactly a dynamo in the sense that we talk about a dynamo here, there are some astrophysical situations which might motivate the experimental results that that I'll talk about. And so one you can see in a MHT computation of an astrophysical jet coming out of an AGN. And this is from Hui Li at Los Alamos. Here, currents are ejected out the ends of a jet, and these currents are in a strongly magnetized region. The magnetization comes probably from the dynamo in the disk down here at the base. And as these currents flow out, they become they get distorted into a helical kink, which ultimately generates a component of the magnetic field which is actually around the axis of the disk. And so this has some strong similarities to the thing that I'll show you in the RFP calculation. There's also another motivation comes from the tachocline, where we have magnetic instabilities driving flow that in turn may be an important process in the dynamo. Okay. So the mechanisms I'll be talking about are an MHD alpha effect, very similar to the type of thing that we talk about, but there are also effects beyond MHD, explicitly plasma physics effects like the Hall term in MHD that we see in this experiment. So, okay, I'll get more into this in a bit. Okay, so the rest of the talk, I'll describe the experiment, and then I'll show you what these flux conversion dynamo events look like. And then we'll show you data that describes that talks about evidence for the various terms in Ohm's law that we talk about when we talk about alpha effects, the fluctuating velocity fields and magnetic fields that lead to these this relaxation. Okay, so the reverse field pinch. This is a schematic of the reverse field pinch, and the it's a toroidal configuration. And initially, there's a current running the short way around this vacuum vessel, and a large electric field is applied in the toroidal direction to drive currents then in the toroidal direction. Those currents, in turn, produce a poloidal magnetic field, a magnetic field the short direction around the torus, and that's the strongest component of the magnetic field in the plasma. But as it turns out, there are magnetic instabilities which arise in the plasma, and this strong poloidal magnetic field then relaxes in such a way that there's a new magnetic field generated in the center of the plasma, which is in the toroidal direction, and actually points in a direction which is the opposite from the magnetic field which is generated by the currents in the external magnets. And this is what gives the magnet the configuration its name, the reverse field pinch. The magnetic field, which is actually self-generated by the plasma through this alpha effect, is actually in the opposite direction from the field that's initially applied. Okay. This is a picture of the experiment, the MST at Madison. And so this is a aluminum donut here in the middle is a 1.5 meter major radius experiment. It's about a meter in diameter across the short direction, and the currents flowing in the chamber are up to half of a megaamp. Okay, so this gives you a magnetic field which is sort of roughly a half of a Tesla. The electron temperature is high. It's a fusion quality plasma, so the electron temperatures are very high and the plasma is quite conducting. And this is the density. Just to sort of translate this into parameters for discussion, this plasma then has a Lundquist number which is sort of 10 to the 6th to 10 to the 7th. So this is a very high Lundquist number. And the velocity field in the plasma, the velocity fluctuations which are induced by these magnetic instabilities I'll talk about, are sort of 1% of the Alfvén speed. And so this gives fluid Reynolds numbers, which are on the order of 10 to the 5th. And the magnetic Prandtl number is maybe a little bit less than 1, but on the order of 1. And so the magnetic Reynolds number is on the order of 10 to the 4th, which is much bigger than the sort of things we think about in liquid metal experiments. For diagnostics, we have a whole slew of diagnostics which have been developed to probe these hot plasmas. So, for example, we use Faraday rotation to probe the structure of the magnetic field inside the plasma, and we also have techniques to give localized measurements of the velocity fluctuations inside the plasma. This particular spectroscopic setup injects a neutral beam of atoms across the magnetic field, and then by looking at the spectrum of the recombination light from where the neutral beam recombines with plasma ions, and then looking at the Doppler shifts of the emitted light, you can actually determine locally what the velocity is. And so this gives a powerful technique for local velocity measurements, and this gives us measurements of the magnetic field. Okay. So the dynamo events or the flux conversion events occur spontaneously in the reverse field pinch. And so there are two different mechanisms that we identify with this reconnection or this flux conversion. One is a reconnection event which happens deep in the core of the device, and this just sort of shows the fluctuating magnetic field associated with those core dynamo events. There's also a dynamo event which occurs near the edge, and these two have very different properties. The fluctuations in the center are driven by spontaneous reconnection, in which the current profile of the plasma peaks up and the plasma becomes unstable to a resistive instability. So these are spontaneous instabilities that occur. These in turn drive a reconnection at the edge, and so the edge is in some sense a response to this internal instability. Okay, and I think I just said this. Okay, this instability in the core is a tearing instability. It's driven by it's current driven. And the source of the current is the electric field that we apply via this transformer action. So the source of free energy is obviously then the magnetic field which is applied from outside the device. The instability is driven by gradients in the parallel current density over the magnetic field, and it's inherently resistive in character. And this is what then causes the reconnection and the dynamo fluctuations. Okay, so the manifestations of the dynamo. So one way of looking at what this dynamo looks like in the RFP is to look at Ohm's law as a function of radius. So this is the minor radius, the distance from the center of the donut to the outside. And you can look at what the parallel electric field is in the electric field around the torus in the long direction. And you can also, so that's, And so when we can actually measure from experimental measurements what the inductive electric field is as a function of distance from the center outward. So in the center, the electric field, the inductive electric field is fairly large, and then it drops. This is the parallel electric field, and because the magnetic field actually reverses directions, that parallel electric field also changes directions on the outside of the plasma because the magnetic field is actually changing directions there. And then you can look at, in Ohm's law, you can look at how this thing compares to the electric field that you would not need to drive the parallel current density. And so we can estimate what eta is from the plasma temperature profile, and we have measurements of the parallel current density. You find then that that eta J parallel is something like this. Okay, and so there's a fairly strong disagreement. Ohm's law doesn't make sense. In this plasma, the electric field that's applied, which should be driving more current, but actually something is acting to reduce the current that should be there in the center. And in fact, even at the outside, the electric field's just completely in the wrong direction for driving the current which is measured. So there are different ways of looking at this. One is that there's this huge suppression mechanism in the core and something to add extra current at the edge. Another way of thinking about it is that this, whatever it is that's modifying our standard Ohm's law in a mean field sense, is actually just transporting this parallel current that should be there from the center to the outside. This, in turn, can be thought of as flux conversion. Okay. During the reconnection events, what I just showed you was for in between the reconnection events, you can also look at this. Turns out during the reconnection events, there's a tremendously large inductive electric field, and eta J parallel is not that different from what I showed you before. And so during a reconnection event, there's even a larger discrepancy, and there are more uncertain things to look at. Okay. So there are two fluxes involved with this. The first is the poloidal flux. That's the flux that you would measure between the magnetic axis of the system and the wall, the part that goes the short direction around the machine. And this is the part which is generated by the current which flows around the machine, the toroidal direction. So we increase the current by ramping up the transformer action, and it sits here. And then one of these events comes along, and what happens is that poloidal flux decreases, and at the same time we can measure the toroidal flux, the toroidal magnetic field which goes through, going the long direction around the machine, and the net toroidal flux actually takes a step up. And in the absence of this dynamo effect, the toroidal flux would actually be, the toroidal magnetic field is almost entirely sustained by these discrete events. Okay. So in the standard MHD model, we have a good starting point to think about this from mean field Ohm's law. The electric field is something we know. We measure the current density and the resistivity, and the remaining term to look at then is the mean field EMF associated with the fluctuations driven by these tearing modes inside the plasma. And so we've looked at this carefully, making measurements of the velocity fluctuations and the magnetic fluctuations to see whether or not mean field Ohm's law like this makes sense. Okay, so just to be clear, the idea here is that the energy source is not the kinetic energy in the flow. Rather, it's free energy in the magnetic field profile. This drives an instability, through the current profile, which then makes fluctuations in the magnetic field and the velocity field, which in turn then can act back, this EMF will come back and then modify the current density and the magnetic field. And there are good reasons to believe from quasi-linear theory that this fluctuating EMF actually can be thought of as a current diffusion term of the parallel current density over the magnetic field. Beyond the analytic theory, nonlinear computation can actually look at this also, and I'll show some results from that. Okay, so from nonlinear MHD computation, this is just a purely resistive MHD model. We can simulate these things. And here's the average time averaged inductive electric field, and here's the time averaged current in a simulation of the RFP plasmas. And these plasmas have these tearing modes built into the simulations, and in fact, there's a mean field EMF which shows up in the calculations to look for. Okay, so from the measurements of the velocity field using the spectroscopy I mentioned, and measurements of the magnetic field using the Faraday rotation, we're able to measure inside the plasma at various points what this term here actually looks like. And so the red curve shows a measurement from the spectroscopy and the Faraday rotation of what the turbulent EMF is associated with these fluctuations measured, and this is now measured directly, red. And at the same time, you can then see how well that compares to the difference between these two other terms in Ohm's law, and you see that the agreement is pretty good. Okay, but it turns out that this is not a good, it's not in good agreement at all positions. So at the edge of the plasma, this seems to do a pretty good job, but what you when you measure this this turbulent EMF inside the inner 80% of the plasma, it actually becomes quite small and is no longer able to account for those discrepancies in Ohm's law. So there must be another dynamo mechanism active there. For plasmas, there's the sort of next term that's convenient to look at in Ohm's law is what's known as the Hall effect, and you can, in a linearization of the fluctuations and so forth, you can show that there is another term in a mean field Ohm's law which comes from fluctuations of the current and the magnetic field that can also drive mean currents, and we're able to estimate what that is, and what we find is that the Hall term actually becomes quite significant in the core region, and so it appears that we need both the Hall term and the MHD dynamo in order to explain the Ohm's law that we see in the RFP. Okay. There's some theoretical evidence that this might be that this Hall term might be important. So you can look at a quasi-linear theory of the dynamo that comes from reconnection. And this is work by Vladimir Mirnov at Wisconsin. And he's computed what the dynamo EMF is from the reconnecting magnetic field. And what he finds is it's about 100 times larger than the EMF that you get from the velocity fluctuations alone, but it's somewhat more localized. And so the ramifications of this are still to be thought through, I think. Okay. So it's interesting to compare this tearing instability, say, to another effect that we've talked about, like the MRI. In the tearing instability, we have resistive MHD instability. The MRI is sort of an ideal MHD instability. Tearing instability is current gradient driven. The MRI is flow gradient driven. In both cases, we end up with strong transport as it'll turn out, both magnetic field and momentum by stresses in the fluid, turbulent stresses. Okay, and so we're trying to sort of draw some analogy here, and you'll see where I'm going in a second. In both cases, the mode saturates by transporting currents, and in the case of the tearing mode, the momentum transport is a parasitic effect. So I'll show you how these tearing modes also redistribute momentum. Okay. So if you look at the Hall dynamo term, that's a J tilde cross B tilde term. It equals a Lorentz force that can in turn drive momentum itself. And so this was important for driving currents and redistributing current in the mean field Ohm's law. But it also happens to represents a source of momentum then for driving parallel flow. And so there's a strong connection between this Hall dynamo in the RFP and the way that flow is actually redistributed. Bye. Okay. So actually, this brings me to the end. So on behalf of Stuart, this is my summary. There's a robust flux conversion that takes place in these reverse field pinch plasmas, and they're in an interesting regime, which is somewhat different than the liquid metal experiments we're studying. These are strongly magnetized plasmas, and they exhibit half of what would be considered the standard dynamo model, where they exhibit an alpha effect, which is able to convert flux from one direction back into another direction. In plasmas, two fluid effects are important. Okay. This indicates a strong effect of these small scale tearing fluctuations and how they act back on the large scale structure of the RFP equilibrium. The two fluid effects that we've looked at, the effects we've looked at so far are the Hall terms in MHD, and it looks like this may be very important. Okay, thank you.
Francois, at the back there.
You can ask questions. Can you sit further forward?
I guess an important thing is a phase correlation between V and B for the fluctuations due to the tearing mode. And how do you build them up just to actually produce this EMF? Where does this correlation come
from? So our measurements are done, strictly speaking, in an Eulerian reference frame in which we make measurements at a single point of both the magnetic field and the velocity field, and we compute the correlation, the cross product, and compute averages of that term, and we end up with a nonlinear average in that sense. And so these are only single point measurements. It's very hard to set up to do this at all. We don't compute these averaged over the whole plasma, but this is representative of that calculation at a single point in space.
My question was about theory of the tearing mode. How is it that this V cross B is like non-vanishing on average, right, for the tearing mode?
Well, there's dissipation present, right? And so if it were ideal, the velocity fluctuations and the magnetic field fluctuations would be out of phase in such a way that no EMF can be generated. But once dissipation's introduced, there can be a non-zero correlation between them, and that's what leads to the quasi-linear theory that I showed you.
Okay, just one.
What do you call it? Current diffusion? I think it's exactly the same as current intensity flux divergence.
Yep. Yes.
Okay, thanks for that. All right, so we now have to move on.